Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Going into one of my favorite sections of every single week, we call it the Grand Council. Right now, we are missing one of our council members. Perhaps he will log on here momentarily. But I do have my buddy Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down on the coast. Jeff Poor, are you with me today?
I am present.
You are indeed. Coming through loud and clear, my brother. Dale Jackson, our own guy from WVNN, has been held up, and hopefully he'll be able to log in a minute. But two out of three are here, so I'm going to pronounce a quorum present. Copper, you got that sound effect? Go ahead.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Yay. All right. Hey, I know what, Jeff. Let's just sit here and talk about Dale Jackson on the air. What do you think about that? We'll just do that for a minute. Since he's not here, like my buddies used to always say, if you're not here, we're talking about you.
We do that a lot. I don't know what else is there to say about this gentleman that hasn't been said already, though.
That's probably true. All right. Listen, I'll take the first question. I spent the last segment of my show doing what I called a primer, if you will, on primaries. Had Sean Ross on. We talked about some primaries going on around the state. I've got right now the numbers in front of me. Thus far, it looks like there are roughly 10 incumbents facing primaries in the Republican Party only. 10 incumbents facing primaries, five senators. That's roughly 8 to 9% of the current Republican Party is facing a primary. Why? Well, I mean, that's higher numbers than usual, in my opinion. What are you thinking? What's the genesis of this?
I think there's two things. I think number one, just the effort it takes to knock off an incumbent in the legislature, and very, very difficult. But and it's expensive, and these guys are able to raise money, and they are known commodities. They have a sort of a built-in name ID. But secondly, Senator, I think as much as you and I talk about how the legislature could be more right of center, could be more conservative, I mean, if we were grading them, maybe you give them a B. I mean, it's not a horrible legislature, especially if you look at the long history of the state of Alabama from the very beginning, particularly in toward the end of the 20th century. I mean, this is a pretty darn good Alabama legislature, if you ask me.
Well, and I don't argue that there have been some things that have been done right. I think there's some things that really got kind of lame, to be honest with you, in the last couple of years. And I say that as a veteran of the legislature. But that being said, so 10% of them are facing a primary. What do you think? Is that an issues-driven thing, or is that just somebody wants their job?
It may be both. There may be some people that are willing to run. You know, the gas tax or whatever may have been a motivator. But I also think it does take a certain kind of ego, personality, or whatever to run for public office, and maybe there's a little bit of that in that 10%.
And it could be. And I'll tell you, I said this earlier to Sean Ross, but in my opinion, too, I think this is going to be an interesting – I think there are some issues that are driving it. Sometimes it's going to be things that they did, like gas tax, to draw a primary. I think there's going to be a little bit about that stuff you didn't do. Like, why didn't you do something about education? Why didn't you help us out during the COVID pandemic when our businesses were getting shut down? I think some of that, why didn't you do something, is going to come back up to play also in some of these primaries.
Well, perhaps, there's an easy scapegoat. Everybody can point to the governor. And if there was a vulnerability there for not doing stuff, not being more proactive, you can shift the blame to the governor. The governor is probably, I mean, if you and I are sitting here today and we're thinking, well, if we just had a different governor in there, because the way this governor was able to kind of organize power and get her priorities done, and really everything that went through the House seemed to have the governor's stamp of approval somewhat, with that in mind, that she becomes a more obtainable target than trying to pick off members of the legislature individually.
Well, you say that, and you also bring up the point, as long as we're talking about primaries, nobody has drawn more serious primary opponents than her, in my recollection. I don't recall an incumbent having like in this case, Tim James and Lindy Blanchard, both bringing money and experience into the race, like we're seeing with her.
Well, maybe, well, what was it, Fobb James and Winton Blood in that 1998
gubernatorial
primary and led to Scale
Siegelman.
My dad
was in that primary.
Yeah, and then the other one I could think of, Roy Moore ran against Bob Riley after the big tax increase vote, but didn't do really that well. No, but, you know, it happens from time to time. I guess will these guys do any better than what we had seen in the past?
Well, we'll find out soon. All right, that's enough for that one. Your question, what you got?
COVID numbers continue to tick up. You know, my conventional wisdom suggests that we won't see anything from the governor or from state government saying, you know, any kind of mandate or any kind of protocol. But I don't know. You're starting to look around. Start to look around the country. Is Mike K. Ivey, you know, succumb to pressure and put in some kind of institute some kind of regulations?
You talking about shutting things down again?
Well, maybe not going that far, but maybe a mask mandate or some kind of vaccine requirement or something going in the other direction, whatever it may be, but something might she tinker with that idea?
I'm saying no. I think that would be the death of her campaign if she did. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm too jaded on the topic, but I don't think so. I think that the state of Alabama is too jaded on the topic. We're sitting here right next door to Florida, where they're living large and free. And technically we are too. We just don't have the same type of leadership out front saying it. I think the truth be told, unless people are dropping dead in the streets, I don't see Kay Ivey doing anything different than what we're doing right now. I do not think she's going to shut down businesses again. In fact, I think if she did, there'd be a revolt. I had one pastor tell me that he will refuse to ever shut down his church again if the government asks him to. He was that beat up about it. And he's a pastor of a huge church. I don't think so. Why? Do you think differently?
No, but it's come up, and some people have kind of hinted at it, particularly in maybe some of the cities around Alabama. Could we see it there? That are more maybe willing to go along with something like that. I guess the other part of this question would be, Senator, that if, you know, knowing what we know now about this, are you a little surprised that the governor, looking back, and I know at least the two or three businesses that really got hit hard because of her shutdown, and knowing what we know now about what little impact that shutdown had stopping the spread, that the governor really didn't face, she admitted she was wrong, but hasn't really faced any kind of tangible repercussions for it.
I think she's going to, as soon as qualifying's over with. I think what's going to wind up happening now is that that's probably going to be one of the chief things that Tim James and Linda Blanchard key on. I mean, when you got the person who, you know, was appointed by the Trump administration and the other guy who's run statewide before coming in, and what else do they have to wear out on, and why would they not? I would say, wear out on the gas tax, wear out on shutting down businesses, definitely. And then backtracking on your own feelings about it and saying, I shouldn't have done that. Well, yeah, you shouldn't have done that. I see that they're going to have to make the issue, but the issue is there and ripe for the picking is what I'm saying.
I mean, wouldn't you do this if you're one of these two candidates? You got to find somebody that lost your business or somebody that fought it. You know, I remember a lot of these hair salons. I remember one down 280 in Birmingham, that defied a lot of the orders, and you had some defiant sheriffs around the state that weren't going to enforce the mandates, and you know what had happened, Senator, the governor's office retaliated against them. I won't name names, but you know, because they weren't going along to get along with the governor's office, they kind of shrugged at him when they asked for some assistance on some other things. So like I'm finding those people and I'm making those stories and I'm bringing them out front because I think there was a point in time, and I don't think it's as bad as it was, but I think there was a point in time when that governor was just putting on some very, very petty antics and that may or may not have been a public display, but that's something that the public, if made aware of, I think would really hurt her reelection chances.
No, I think totally. And, you know, on our show, we had the story about United Launch Alliance, a company in Decatur up here in our listening area, that is still, it's still an issue, by the way. And they're embroiled in lawsuits right now, and they don't care. They're still, they're laying people off, and they're enforcing the mandates, even though the mandates are being enjoined in court, and pushing forward. Well, one of the things that happened was the day after the mandates were being, you know, excoriated by rhetoric from the governor's office, and she issued her executive order that really didn't do anything. The day after that, it turns out that a state trailer pulled up into the parking lot of United Launch Alliance to help them train the replacements for the people they were laying off. And it really smacked to the people who were being laid off that the governor was saying one thing, but her people were helping her do another. And I just think those kind of stories, like you said, I think those kind of stories come out, man. You can make hay out of that. That's why they always bring guests to this to the State of the Union address.
Well, let me ask you then: do you have confidence in any of these candidates of really making that, moving that, those narratives or bringing those stories to light? Because if I'm Tim James, if I'm Lindy Blanchard, my next press conference is right there next to somebody that had their replacement trained right before their eyes by the state of Alabama. I mean, that's the stuff that will work. But I don't see that kind of energy from either of these campaigns yet.
I don't either. Not yet. But I think if they hire the right communication staff, they can message that easily. That's like a messaging a consultant's dream right there. Hey, listen, brother, we got to take a short break. All right, let's take this break. Copper, go ahead and phase us out, and we'll be right back in a minute with myself and Jeff Poor and the absentee Dale Jackson. We don't know where he is. He's AWOL right now. We'll have to get him to the front leaning rest, make him do some push-ups. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back with my brother Jeff Poor doing grand council work. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We are solid conservative, just plain right, and we are in the Grand Council. I sense a disturbance in the force. I believe we may have had our third member just, like, show up. Is that Dale Jackson? Are you with us now?
We're here. I was here the whole time. Copper just didn't have me ready to go. Yeah, that's what happened.
Oh, that's what happened. Oh, just let's throw Copper under the bus. It wasn't anything like your wife had you doing honeydew projects and you got caught up in all that or anything.
That's
like
true. That's exactly what happened. She had me doing some other stuff and I just completely forgot. I apologize.
Oh, my gosh. Jeff, do we let him play now? What do we do with this? I mean, I just at least do it from the position of attention, please.
Yes, sir. Yes, Colonel Williams.
All right, so... Dale, since you're just jumping on, ask us a question. You're up.
All right. Are we going to see are we going to see 10,000 plus a day in Alabama? Will we get to 10,000 plus new coronavirus cases every day in Alabama for a 7-day average? We're at about, I think, 5 right now. We had a number of 8 yesterday, I believe. Will we get an average of 10 at some point?
Well, in my opinion, if AL.com can make it happen, it will. And the interesting thing is, since the CDC just revised the testing standards and said that they recognize that many of the tests being used don't differentiate from COVID and flu, I don't know. I mean, firstly, I hope not, but Omicron also has really been kind of a non-issue in terms of putting people in the hospital and being near as threatening as the original variants were. That's my commentary. Jeff?
I agree with you about the AL.com part. There's a lot of grief porn in my Twitter timeline about COVID-19 and a lot of a real weird tendency to want to go after people that aren't vaccinated for this. But we'll go out on a limb here and say it's probably not a vaccination question is why we're seeing these numbers tick up. But 10,000 a day average, you may hit it. I don't know that it's going to be a sustainable average over time, though.
Why, Jeff? What, Dale, you got some news we need to know about?
No, I'm just saying I'm just very shocked to see these numbers shooting up the way they are, and they don't seem to be subsiding. And eventually they'll subside, obviously, but we're seeing huge numbers in New York and Florida and all these other places. I got to believe we're heading in the same direction, obviously. And, you know, we got to see what happens with the deaths and hospitalizations and all this other stuff. We're in uncharted territory, I believe. And we'll see how our elected officials and health officers react to it.
The crazy thing is, apparently vaccination doesn't do a thing to prevent it. That's what's really, I mean, I get the fact that the vaccination is touted as being something that relieves your symptoms, can help you to sustain, you know, your health. But nonetheless, I've got a friend right now. She's a nurse. She's vaccinated. She's boosted. She's already had it. So she has natural antibodies, and she just got diagnosed for the third time.
Yeah, so there's a lot happening here. And, you know, I think that with this, we're learning, you know, the vaccination keeps away the more serious symptoms. Is that worth it enough for you to go to get vaccinated? You got to make that decision yourself. I mean, that's really where it is. We're still seeing a separation between deaths and hospitalizations based on vaccination status at this point. You just got to ask yourself, is that enough for you to make that decision or not?
All right, next question. Here I go. Hillary Clinton came out like yesterday afternoon, story up on Fox this morning. Hillary Clinton is literally taking a shot at the progressive wing of the Democrat Party, telling them they're going to wind up being the reason why they lose 2022 elections. I look at this and think, okay, first of all, did they have to call in Hillary in order to start addressing things because Biden won't do it or can't do it? And secondly, is she just trying to raise her profile because they know that Biden can't run again and they don't want Kamala? Your thoughts, starting with Jeff.
No, a lot of people seem to think or pointing to Hillary Clinton running again and raising her profile, but I mean, she is right. What is she saying that's wrong? But you know that the Democratic Party, by flirting with this pseudo socialism, pseudo communism that they're trying to, that they're turning away a lot of voters. And you know, whether that is the reality or not, here's the problem. These policies are going to be branded as such by Republicans, and you're going to look and you're going to be sitting there and you're saying, are you better off now than you were 2 years ago? Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? And that's going to be the problem, that there's going to be this association, guilt by association, I suppose, at best, and people are going to turn away from left-of-center policies and maybe flirt with the idea of doing something more right-of-center.
Well, all right. Dale, what do you think?
I think we're looking at a situation where, yeah, she might be considering becoming a player again. And I think a lot of what Jeff just said is true about, you know, she has to be there on the stage at all times. She wants to be in the public eye. She wants to be there. And she's going to go out and throw some elbows at who they consider to be the bad guys. But what I find most funny about this is if she were going for the nominee, she'd flirt with them too. I mean, she's made it crystal clear who she is and what she's willing to do. So she'd flirt with him just as much as Joe Biden did and is. So I don't think she's a reliable foe here for them.
Flirt with them, meaning the liberal side of the
yes,
party.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. All right. We got barely a minute. Jeff, you got a yes or no question? What do you think?
Well, let me flip it around on you. For Donald Trump on the other side of the ticket, Lindsey Graham coming out on both Fox News and Newsmax saying that Donald Trump will run. Is he running in 2024?
I'm saying right now, if it were today, yes, but I don't know if he's going to be there by 2 years from now. So I'm a question mark. Dale?
Yeah, he wants to. If his health holds up, he will.
Yeah, right, and I would say I think he is. He's a no-brainer.
All right. There it is. Grand Council. Happy New Year, fellas. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
And as always, that's Jeff Bohr from FM Talk 106.5 down the coast and our own Dale Jackson chiming in right here at WVNN. The Grand Council once a week on Thursday afternoons. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. I got some funny stuff you're going to want to hear next. Hang on. We'll be right back.